Life Audio.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Garrett, and welcome to Girl Club. We'll be right with you after these messages.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Good afternoon, good evening, depending on wherever you are in the world. I am Cynthia Garrett, and welcome to Cynthia Garrett's Girl Club. This is the place where real girls have real talk, sometimes a little too real, about real issues, sometimes a little too real, those issues, but all the while trying to apply real faith. And that is the realest thing that any of us actually know to apply to our daily lives and to all of the challenges and the issues that come against us every day. And whether you have faith or not, I invite you to listen along so that you might understand why Jesus Christ is the best choice you can make for your life, and why getting to know him and getting to walk in the faith that he provides through his word is really the most important choice and decision you can make in your life. So joining me, we have a full house today here live on this gorgeous December day. And you know the girls, you know your regular tribe of team members, and I'm not going to waste too much time introducing them. Just suffice it to say they are three of the most awesome women of God that I know. They are passionate, powerful leaders and teachers in their own right. They are talented singer-songwriters. They are evangelists. Between the three of them, they are all those things and so much more. And I'm happy to have them all in studio this morning to bring you this podcast. Welcome, Christina Reynolds, Nova Page, and Christina Boudreau. What's up, peeps?
Morning. What's up?
What's up? So for those of you watching on live stream, sometimes you probably get like this look on our face, and the look, and I'm going to just keep it real. The look says, oh, they've been talking about so much before they even started the podcast. So just so you know, yes, that look on our face is usually like little kids with our hands caught in the cookie jar. It's always a full conversation, you guys, even by the time that we get to you. So yes, Pamela Lee, good morning to all my sisters around the globe. Good morning, Donna. If you're watching us on live stream, then you get to see our faces. If you're listening on podcast through one of the many Salem platforms or Life Audio, thanks for joining us. And I do want to invite you to pop over and watch us live at Cynthia Garrett Ministries YouTube channel, because then I can get your comments. And we love to get your comments. We love to get your feedback, especially when we're live. So, ladies, it's been an interesting year for all of us. And as we sort of sit here with just what, another week, 10 days left to go of the year, 10, 12 days, I guess, to be exact, I just got to start with a question. And I want all of you listening to think about this also. I'd really love to know what you think God has taught you in this year. Because I've been thinking about it. And when I said to the Lord early this morning, Father, if I were to die tomorrow, what's the one thing you would have me say? because I long ago realized that I was not called into this space of ministry to echo the voices of any powers that be. I'm not a part of the matrix. I'm not a part of the system. I'm not called to say what man and humans want me to say that is tidy and convenient. I am called to be a wake-up call to the church. I know this clearly because this is what the Lord told me himself clearly. And when the Lord tells me, I believe it. I despise not prophecy, but I do test all things out that are prophetic. We've had that conversation before. The abuse of the gift of prophecy has been rampant, in recent years. But when the Lord brings you a word, because you have a relationship with him yourself, then you can make decisions and moves based on that. And that's between you and God, right? But he said to me something interesting. He said, if this was your last day, tell them to go in through the narrow gate. And I was like, whoa, that's a heavy scripture for those of you who know it. And Anna, if you might bring it up on screen, I'll read it for you. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And I thought, that is really and truly, I think that is the greatest lesson for me of the year, because the wide path, it really is easy. And on that path, it makes room for fear, doubt, and insecurity, and compromise, and anger, and judgment, and all these things that are really not a part of the Word of God. The narrow gate is really, that's the gate that you enter through Christ. That's Christ. He's that narrow gate and his word and how he tells us to live so that we can have life, right? And life more abundantly. So I just wanted to throw that out there and just sort of open it up for discussion with you guys. What is the, how do we enter through the narrow gate when, like we were talking about off camera, the church is Christ's great shining hope. We are the body of Christ. We are the church, all of us here, all of you listening, all of you watching. We are the body of Christ. We are the church, right? And the church has suffered a lot in this last few years, certainly in this last year. I don't know why it still causes people to suffer when they realize that human beings are just human. And they fall, because it doesn't cause me to suffer anymore, because I long ago realized, human flesh, yeah, it's probably going to disappoint you. But people continue to put people on pedestals, and people continue to topple off those pedestals. But the point is, how do we go in through the narrow gate when we look all around us and we do see, leaders having issues and we see the church having issues? But the reality is that God still loves his church. And he wants us all going in through the narrow gate because that's where we find life. But he also says that so few find it. So what does all of that mean to you?
Cynthia, it's really interesting because the narrow gate can also be defined as like the straight, right? When something's narrow, it's just, you think of it even in your mind as like, it's straight. There's not a lot of ways to like maneuver. It's just straight. And I think there's a couple of thoughts that I have on that. Obviously, the wide gate, like you just can move around, and there's a lot of room to create confusion. Like, woo, woo, right? It's woo. Just like woo, like a bowling ball, like right or whatever, ping pong ball. And I had this experience, and it was in Home Goods the other day, and when people make a scene and your eyes get focused on them. Like there's just a lot of hoopla and you're not attracted to it, but you can, it's obvious like there's something happening with these people, right? Even like a big group of people coming in and they just have like a presence. It's not necessarily a great presence. It's just like, it's obvious that they're there, right? And so you take a look at it. And so I was in Home Goods the other day, and I was shopping for a client. I was just doing this project, and I was walking the aisles, and there it was, you know, kind of a little bit hard to maneuver in there because there's so many people shopping. And this, I saw out of the corner of my eye this sweet woman, and she was probably in her 70s. And she just stopped me in my tracks. And I noticed she stopped her cart and she's like, "Oh, go ahead," to somebody. And she just caught my attention. She wasn't like fancy or loud, or I was just like, and all of a sudden the Lord is like, "Isn't she beautiful? Will you just go tell her she's beautiful?" And I was like, "Lord, I think she's yours. That's how beautiful she is." And he's like, "You need to go tell her." So I walked up to her and I go, I can't leave this store without telling you, you are so incredibly beautiful. Like, she just had this, she wasn't like older woman who had like done all the work stuff. She was just had this beauty. And she looked at me, she turned around, she's like, "Oh, honey, it's Jesus. It's all Jesus." And I look at that kind of a life. She didn't dance her way around all, she just narrowly, firmly, beautifully said, "Here's what it's about." And she just gave me a hug. And she's like, "You know what, you and I could have tea." And I just thought, and I go, I could tell you knew my Jesus. And she's like, "Thank you so much. It's just all him." And I look at that kind of a life. I've never seen her on stage. I've never seen her, you know, on a podcast. She's just simply just walking that narrow path, and she makes no bones about it. She is a Jesus lover. And I think what we've all been through in all of our journeys is we've seen a lot of people who claim Jesus from high places. And then sometimes it's a disappointment, but I think our focus, I know my focus, last year, God had given me a few words, and one of them was like, "Let me love you." And the other was creating a tov or goodness culture in your home. And like living a life among the pagans that although they accuse you of doing wrong, they will glorify God in the day he visits us. Like, just walk with me. And so I look at this lady and I'm just so astounded by her beauty, and she gives the immediate glory to God. And I think it was just this like, that's all we need to do. It's immediately glory given to God, like in every single day life, walking through the aisles of Home Goods, right? So, I don't know if that like circles all the way back around, but what have I learned this year is I have to create that. For me, what God had spoken to me is just creating that goodness culture in my own home, that safe place. And then from there, I think everything else, you get clarity, you know, because your own home is in order. And I think sometimes it's really easy to look at what's going on everywhere else and you lose focus on your own home and your own family and your own heart. But then there can be that, like, let me just think about myself all the time. That's not the point. The point is getting your family, your heart, your life really in, like, being in communion. And just setting your life, your eyes on Jesus. And then think after that, it's, you know, he equips us for that journey. But that narrow gate, it doesn't have to be confusing.
No.
It doesn't have to be.
Well, it's not.
Because, it's not. But we create a wider path that gets confusing.
The wide road is full of confusion, right? Because what you saw in that woman was the presence of God. Right. Oh, yeah. So it made her stand out. But isn't that interesting? Because I think part of going in through the narrow gate, having found that narrow path and being committed to walking in it, it's because you're also narrowly looking at Jesus for how to live your life, and you're striving to live your life that way. And so in that, right, the light of Christ is shining in you. So I think that's one of the gifts of walking on that narrow path. Right? Is that's the gift of life that you get, that he says you get on that narrow path, but so few find it. And listen, we know so few find it, because how many times walking around through your day, Nova, do you see another woman who catches your eye like that? Now, sure, sometimes maybe we're not paying attention, right? But really and truly, how many times does somebody really grab your attention and you go, "Whoa, that person has something different going on," and then you find out that the difference is Jesus.
You know, it's interesting because I think I have such accountability in my daughter. like walking around with that girl who like she is pure joy, but also she's also like a little Holy Spirit for me. So yeah. It's so, you know, walking out in this world takes, we have to be really purposeful and we have to be very intentional that like, okay, Lord, am I representing you well? Not so that it's a show, but like, are you really like, I need to be empowered by your spirit right now. Like, and so, you know, the other day Shiloh had a surf competition. I don't mean to, you know, have too many stories, but she was in,
love it.
There was a 15 minute heat that she's in. For those of you who aren't aware of what a heat is, it's just 15 minutes of surfing and you try to get the best waves with the most moves and whatnot. So she's in this, you know, 15 minute, heat. And, she's doing amazing. She's going against the best surfers in her age group. And she's, you know, they're older than her. She's winning the heat at like 14 minutes, 30 seconds. She's number one. And we're like freaking out. We're like, oh my goodness. And, in the last 30 seconds, the person who got, you know, that she's, who's like amazing. She's just phenomenal. Great kid too. It's right. We just love all these little grums. And, she, you know, she made this amazing maneuver and wave, and she comes in, she scores super high and takes Shiloh out. Then the other girl in 15 seconds left does a maneuver, takes Shiloh out. And all of a sudden she's like, she's not even in the finals. She's out. And she walks out of the water and she goes and hugs the girls and says, great job. And the truth is, was she disappointed? She was, but you know what? She looked and she's like, for a little while, I was like kind of killing it. And right. She's like, this gives me so much like hope and like I can work on things. And now I know, mama, how to narrow my focus. And I was like, isn't that the thing, Shiloh? We hone in on the things we're like, yeah, I really need to learn that. I need to like work on that. Yeah. And, you know, I think as believers, sometimes we get disappointed in people and someone beat us out for something. And the truth is like, we can be assured that God wraps his arms around us and go, yeah, that wasn't your win, but what can we do with what we just got? Like what can we do with what we got? And then like, let me help you. Let's make a plan. Let's move forward. And I think, you know, for me, that's super encouraging. I'm like, there's never a place where it's a total loss. It's we can work with this. And I'm so great. And that's where the grace of God ebbs and flows in our life. He's like, no, I got you. Yeah. So you didn't win that, but let's work together. So I think that, I don't know. It just feels like sometimes we're so dramatic in the way we feel about, you know, life. It's just all or nothing or high or low. And the truth is it's just you just keep going and hopefully with some joy. So I don't know. Those are the things that I kind of been learning.
Yeah.
You know, as I move through my everyday homeschool mom / business, whatever life and ministry life. And, you know, there's so many more stories, but I'll spare you from those. I will say, I just know that God shows up and he's never late and he's certainly never early, but he shows up and he works with us. So.
Oh boy, does he show up and work with us? I mean, I think, you know, it's funny, I'm listening to what you're saying. And to me, it is about the narrow gate, knowing how, like, you know, emotions and drama, which is what most people process when they're losing, is about being all over the place. Right? Most people, when they're knocked off their course or when they're hurt, they're all over the place. And I know, because I can be that person who's like all over. And that's actually not the narrow path. That's in those moments, I'm like, dig out the road because it's about to be on. I'm going all over the place and taking everybody out, you know, and the narrow path is pretty much here because Jesus never went bonkers and all over the place. Not really. There was never a lot of drama with him or emotions that were out of control. It was him knowing what my father would do. You know, him knowing what my father would do. What would my father do in this moment? What would my father think? What would my father say? And I think that's why it's so hard to find this path, because most of us make a lot of accommodation for what I would say, what, you know what I mean? What would self say in the moment? What would, you know, what do I feel in this moment? What do I need to vent and get off my chest in this moment? And we do, and I look, and I think it's okay. And I think that there are those situations where, you know, we're a safe space for each other where we can vent and we can, you know, get a lot of stuff worked out. Cause we've all, you know, we all see a lot, you know, behind the curtain in Oz, but we also have the maturity to know how to get back on the narrow road and go, okay, but what's it really all about? Cause we're teachers, and you know, that scripture that says not many of you should be called teachers because you will be judged, you know, much more harshly. That is scripture. It was said, and he does mean every word that he says. So to me, you know, as a leader and a person in authority, staying on that narrow path is really important, especially in a world where so many leaders today, on every level, not just leaders in the church, but leaders in political positions, leaders in other places of authority, they're on the wide road. They are on the wide road. You know, I was listening last night before I went to sleep, which, note to self, don't do this. Listen to the word before you go to sleep, because it was disturbing, you know, and I mean, Anna just put the exact scripture on screen from James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Okay? That ought to terrify a lot of people. That's it. But last night I was listening to you guys, you know, there's a lot of these whistleblowers coming through talking about all this stuff with UFOs and blah, blah, blah. Basically, I got to send this to you, because basically this one whistleblower, who is a real military guy who had his own real encounter in Indonesia, where he, you know, they're out on a mission and they come up on this UFO and it's hovering above the ground. And there are American soldiers, men, people in uniforms, I don't know, loading stuff in and out. And he watched this. And they were threatened, and he didn't think that he and his people who were with him were going to make it out alive. I'm really paraphrasing, because this is a whole world of stuff that is going on in America right now and in Congress. And there are whistleblowers going before Congress. There are people who are coming forward about all of our history of quote unquote UFOs. Anyway, one of the whistleblowers who went before Congress recently said and told this guy, when he said they were loading these big, huge containers, and the guy testified that because he always thought through the years that they were loading, that they were drugs or something, and that that there are clearly corporations involved in this. This extraterrestrial technology is clearly our technology. And there's a whole lot of weird stuff going on. And Tucker Carlson, who's one of our big media people, just came out recently and said, it's so dark, 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 what I have discovered about all of that world. I can't even go there because I don't have even the spiritual understanding to be able to speak on this without terrifying my own wife. So now for those of us who are Christians, who know a lot about the Nephilim and the fallen mm-hmm. angels who mixed with man.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff here, okay? And I'm really doing this quickly because my husband is better off to explain this, because this is his thing and a lot of the guys that trained him who really understand this stuff. But I found it very odd that what this one whistleblower said recently before Congress, which this other whistleblower now that I was listening to last night was saying freaked him out, because he always thought that the containers that were being loaded were drugs. And this man testified, no, they're full of people. They're full of children, that there's child trafficking in some way going on in all of this. Don't ask me for what. I have no idea what they're doing. And the crazy out there-ness of all of this just leaves me like, huh? What? But when you listen to people who've experienced this, people who know, it starts to make a lot of sense. And what And that's why when I woke up this morning, I was so like, Lord, if the world is so much darker than we even perceive, mm-hmm. because we really are to be focused on whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, what's like, that should be our focus as believers, right? Because if not, I mean, you start getting off into all this stuff and then what are you doing? You know, I even told Roger, I said, listen, do me a favor. I don't want to listen to guys like him at night before I go to sleep. Just put Jesus on, because I mean, I can't even take where this goes. Like, this is cuckoo time. But, and the Lord said, tell them to go through the narrow gate. And the revelation that he was giving me was that there are corporations and world systems that have chosen to walk on a very wide path. And that path leads to destruction. There is no life in that path. It is dark and it is all good on that path. And we know as believers that the path that leads to life is narrow. It is straight. It is Jesus. We go through one gate, right? And that's where we have life and life more abundantly. And I have to believe that's here and when we leave here. And Christina Boudreau, you were saying something earlier that was, you know, really, it was powerful, actually, what you said, you know, that you have moved into the season of really focusing on the forward motion of the church. And I think that is, I mean, that's where we have to be, right? Because, and I think it's incredible because, and I think it's interesting as we end this year, right? As we get to the end of this year, and as we look at the beginning of another year, I think the forward motion of where we all need to go to be on this narrow path is incredibly important, because I think that God is breaking down a lot of these human-made systems and exposing things. And for the elect, and the chosen, for those of us who believe, it's going to be that much more important that our mind is stayed on Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Cynthia, I think, you know, just in this season of like what we were talking about before we went on, like I'm in a season where, you know, I've just been commissioned to like, you know, just to come to Chile. My tours throughout South America are going to begin just within the next few months. And I really feel like, you know, I think one of the things that really has encouraged me, like my dad was in the Navy for many years. That's how he met my mom. And he would often just tell me just about the SEALs. And, you know, my dad spent a lot of his time on ships. Like he was just like, he just kind of has like a military mindset. And one thing that was really interesting is that my dad has always just shared with me about the Navy SEALs and how for them, like a lot of their training has been so like intense in a short amount of time that they get pushed to the limits, like mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, because the missions they go to push those limits, but they learn how to be like focused in the midst of that. And that's just the season I feel like I'm in right now. I feel like everything I've gone through in my life up until now has been a lot of just different trials and storms in my life that did push me to the limits physically, emotionally, spiritually, physically, to where now in this season, I'm now like on mission for the Lord, where right now, like I'm in putting into practice everything that God has given me. And I'm in a season where I have no other option but to be focused on the race in front of me. Because when you're on the mission field, like you're on the battlefield, when a soldier's on the battlefield, they can't, if they are focused, if their eyes go one for a moment off the target or off the mission, they could become a casualty on the battlefield. And I believe in this season, that's why, like, even for example, like in this season, the Lord has been teaching me a lot about like strength and endurance. Because before I came to Chile, my friends and I, like, we always have like an inside joke. We're like, oh dude, it's leg day today. Cause we were in the gym. Like we go to Gold's Gym. Gold's Gym is known for like a lot of meatheads, you know, people go in there and they pump weight. My friends and I were just in the gym 7 days a week doing weights. We weren't running. We weren't building endurance. And so, yeah, like we were toned. Yes, we looked good. But if you put us in a race, like we probably couldn't last half a mile. We probably couldn't last a quarter mile. Walking up the stairs was like a process, you know, because I didn't even have the endurance for that. But in this season of coming to Chile, the Lord, and just like, you know, how do we practically like walk through the narrow gate. Like the Lord's had to teach me, like, Christine, in this season spiritually, you're going to need a lot of endurance because the days are going to be long. The days are going to be hard. The ministry is going to have a lot of wear and tear. And to be able to endure even spiritually what's happening in our world right now, even Cynthia, what you're saying, what you were hearing on the news, our elections in the U.S. are coming up. That's going to be a lot, I think, is going to come to the surface in our nation of the U.S. in the next few months. And so in this season, I've had to really, like, even just practically, I have traded out some days in the gym here in Chile to where every day I'm running a mile and a half. I'm like building up that endurance. I started out a mile, and this week I'm doing a mile and a half running every single day because I need the endurance to be able to have early mornings, to be able to have late nights, to be able to do the amount of events I'm doing. And as I'm building that physical endurance, I'm building that spiritual endurance. And I'm building the emotional endurance of hearing a lot of these stories day in and day out of like the abuse of the trauma. Like I'm in very gnarly ministry situations in the weeks and months to come where there's going to be a lot of stories I'm hearing. And how do I have the endurance to hear those things? Like what you're saying, Cynthia, how do we be able to hear the craziness in the world, but still be focused on what God's called us to be focused on? And so in this season, I'm building that physical endurance, but also the spiritual endurance, also the emotional endurance, so that I don't become a casualty on the battlefield the Lord has placed me on. And in this season, that's where I'm at, to where I've had to really just be like, yeah, man, I got to be working on, like, everything's a forward motion. Everything is advancing the kingdom one step forward. Everything is building God's house one step forward, you know, getting souls. Like every day is like going fishing. And I just have this militant mindset right now of a forward motion, because anything that's going to take me to have a step back, like I'm out here right now, dude. like the mission field's no joke. Like the battlefield's no joke. There's a lot of kind of demonic activity. There's a lot of people here that are into like weird spiritual stuff, you know, like just the areas. The strongholds here are different than in the U.S. The spiritual temperature is different here than in the U.S. And I think in the months and days to come, even in the U.S., as all this stuff is coming to the surface, the only way that we're going to be able to endure hearing those things is staying in the word, is, you know, staying in worship, is plugging in, staying in church, staying in fellowship, like putting into practice everything that we've learned and putting our minds and bodies unto the subjection, you know, like what Paul says, you know, like, lest I be disqualified, right? And I'm in a season where I'm like, Lord, like, I gotta be like on it, dude. I have to be physically in shape to be doing what I'm doing, emotionally in shape, spiritually in shape, because I can't go into the boxing ring. Like even boxers, one of my friends told me that a boxer, they spend so much time doing, building endurance and cardio, because they could punch and they could know all the moves, but if they don't have the endurance, they won't be able to outlast their matches. And I feel like in this season, there will be a lot of Christians who don't have the endurance, and because they don't have endurance, they're not going to make it through the rounds, dude. And I'm in a season where I'm like, Lord, I gotta make it, dude. Like I gotta train for this race, because I know it's going to be no joke. Because I don't want to look at the Lord one day and say, Lord, I didn't have the endurance to make it through the round. You know, I have the best coach, I have the best support system, but if I don't have the endurance, man, I'm not going to make it. And so that's kind of the heartbeat of the season for me, you know, where it's been a very kind of narrow focus, because it's had to be, you know, I won't make it the third round without it.
Yeah. That's a wise word, you know, that's a wise word. And, you know, Christina Reynolds, we were talking earlier, and I think you and I have experienced so much of just so much stuff together, you know, in ministry, outside of ministry, you know, dealing with other ministries together and apart. And I guess, you know, when I look at where God has called you to today, in your ministry and in your life, you and CJ, and how you sow into young people and to kind of where you feel you're supposed to go. How has this year been for you in sort of helping you to find that place of endurance that Christina Boudreau is talking about?
Yeah. I love what everyone's saying, going from like the focus of having to have the focus to stay on the narrow path to having the endurance to continue on that path is like so real. And I just want to like jump off of what Christina's even saying of just kind of, I relate a lot to that of, wow, the Lord had me and my husband in such an, in, almost like a pressure cooker for a couple years of just intense, I don't even want to call it suffering or maybe just loss or hardship where our faith was really tested, you know, through different seasons and seeing the Lord show up. Never early, but always on time. I had to laugh at that because it's so true, Nova. But I think along with that endurance, it takes a lot of faith. The Lord has been speaking to us a lot about Hebrews 11, which is why I love that Pamela Lee said, he has brought me to deeper faith. God has taught me to trust in him in everything, even when it doesn't make sense and others are mocking that faith. Look at the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. And that is like a passage that the Lord's been speaking to us like really strongly. And over this entire year, you know, from like step by step, as we've been building this organization of working with young athletes, you know, it has been just a walk of faith. And I'm just going to read Hebrews 11 real quick, 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And I'm just like looking at like, like what we believe. Why do we believe what we believe? We believe in a God that we can't see. Why did he make himself not visible to us for a time? It's like everything. It's like God requires faith. Like that is how you please him. That's what he finds joy in. We like faith without works is dead, but works without faith is dead as well. You know, and I'm still processing through my understanding of all of this, but something that really, really like solidified this like desire in me to go, I want to be a woman of faith. I want to cling to my faith, to believe in God, even when I can't see what's going on, even when I don't understand what's going on, even when everything is hitting the fan and like, I'm so confused. I want to be clinging to who God says he is, even when I can't see, you know, and it really, really, solidified these last couple of weeks. My mother-in-law actually passed away. And when we went back to be with my husband's family, just spent 7 days just thinking about her, looking through thousands of photos, talking with other family members about her life. I think about my mother-in-law. I'm like, she was a true woman of faith. She was truly one of the heroes of faith that we read about in that, you know, the Hall of Faith, you know, Abraham, Noah, Enoch, all these people who lived a life that was so countercultural in the midst of so much darkness, holding on to a promise that they themselves will not see until we and our next generation walks through. You know what I'm saying? Like that type of faith. Like my mother-in-law, like she suffered. Her husband left when my husband was conceived and came back and then left and this and that, and was a single mother for 7 years. And then for like 20 plus years, like had a death sentence on her because of autoimmune, like a very, very intense autoimmune. And like up to like her very last breath, she never, never cursed God. She never questioned him. She never complained. And I'm talking, she by the end of her life, she couldn't even breathe. She pretty much, I think, suffocated to death because her lungs, I think, collapsed. But she was, I can't even explain how much suffering this woman endured physically, just physically alone, on top of just her, you know, her life and the things that she had suffered at the hands of other people, you know, and not once had she ever waned in her faith. She was like, the testimony of her life was when she was in pain to pray for others, when she was lacking to give to others. And she always believed. She was like, I'm going to be healed. Like, hands down, the Lord has said so. And I'm going to cling to that. I mean, to the very end. And you're like, there's so many things that me and CJ didn't understand in the process. We're like we didn't understand why, you know. It's like, I really did feel like Job's idiot friends who were like, oh, maybe it's better. I can't even say it online, what the things and the confusion that we felt because of how intense the suffering was. But when I think of the narrow way, I think of my mother-in-law, that despite like so much confusion, why this suffering? Why now? Why can't I breathe? But you told me, your promise said that, like, you promised me that you would heal my body. I can't even play with my grandkids. I can't even have a conversation over 5 minutes, but why? You know what I mean? Like, she never questioned it, never. And her testimony was always the same. And it wasn't until her funeral that we got to spend time with all these people who have known her for 20 plus years, that the testimony of her life, we're like, oh, that's why. That's why. Because in her faith, she actually affected hundreds of people. Yeah. Her faith in the midst of suffering, in the midst of not seeing God's promises. So I do want to read this. We've just been all up in Hebrews 11, like kind of like studying out these heroes of our faith. And when you look at them one by one, they were one out of hundreds of thousands of people, the only one that would believe. Like, we think we have it hard. We have each other. How about Noah? He only had his family, and we don't even know the lengths of what, if were they just following him because he was their leader? Like, it never rained before. Everything that he did was so, it wasn't just countercultural. Had never been heard of before. And he held fast for what, 120 years? How long did it take for him to build that boat? Like, I'm suffering for like 10 years, maybe. I'm praying for salvation for family members for maybe 20 years. This man was mocked for over 100 years and was faithful to the end. And so there's this one that I just want to read, the heavenly hope. So after talking about Abraham, you know, Sarah, Enoch, Noah, it says these all died in faith. And my mother-in-law, Susan Reynolds, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I'm going to move forward. But now they desire a better, or talking about the heavenly country, and therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And then it goes on to say that all these people, still not having received, they're waiting on us. And we, if God doesn't return in our generation, the next generation of believers will be waiting. We'll be waiting for them, and the next, and we'll be waiting for them to join in this promise. You know what I mean? So I don't even know what I'm saying, other than I feel like my Christianity is being boiled down to like such simplicity. I think the narrow gate looks different when you first get saved. I think that as you progress and mature in your love and your relationship with God, he demands more from you because you are an adult now. I pay my own bills. I'm not expecting my mom, you know, or whatever. Like, I buy my own groceries. Yeah. I cook my own food. Like, there's more maturity. There's more that I can bring into this relationship. But a lot of that responsibility is I have to trust him more. Like, we're in a season now, like, where we don't, the Lord was like, start this organization. We did. But we need money. Well, apply for grants. Well, we did. But it's like everything is step by step, like mouthful by mouthful, like literally, like there's, I don't even know what the vision is other than I'm clinging to you and we're just going to say yes. Yeah. And especially in the midst of the world with like so much craziness happening, I feel like what Christina says, he's going, okay, it's time to train now. It's time to train. It's time to build up that endurance. And it's not that like, I'm going to take away the resistance. I'm actually going to add the resistance, but I'm going to be there with you. You know, so I feel like it really is such a time of training of faith. Because I mean, things are crazy, but they're not that crazy yet. We have the book of Revelation. We know what's coming, but like, I'm feeling that like, that pain of, I just need you, Jesus. And also the pain of like my own will and my own control dying. It's that training unto like having faith till the end. So
yeah,
I don't know. That's my spillage of the things that we've been meditating on for really the last couple months, but it's been such a stream. It's just been such this consistent theme over really like, over the years, you know?
Yeah, I know. I get it. Wow. Well, I think we're going to end this week there. And for all of you listening, I think it is an interesting thing to leave this week remembering that perhaps your narrow path is a path that requires a training that you have not yet submitted to. Perhaps your narrow path is a path that you are actively training to be on every day, because when we pick it, we must actively train to be on it every day, because the world wants to knock us back onto the wider road, and life wants to knock us onto the wider road, and our own flesh, you know, our own flesh wants it easier, you know, so that we battle all these things daily. But I can't help but know this. On that narrow path, there's you and Jesus. And when you just stick to the simplicity of you and Jesus, a lot of the noise that's happening on the wide road that everybody else is on, you can't hear, because you're in your bubble with you and Jesus. And then every now and then, someone like Nova sees you walking through a grocery store, and the glory light that is cultivated between you and Jesus is shining so brightly that she's automatically drawn to you to tell you, hey, I see you. I recognize you. There's a light shining in you. And then you turn around and you say, it's Jesus, which in turn encourages Nova, you know, and you in turn are one of those heroes of faith, you know, that Christina mentioned. And so as we sort of stop here today, I'd like you all to be really thinking about how, you know, when you go into this new year, into 2024, how you can really and truly walk 2024 out differently, you know, how you can walk it on a narrower path, a tighter path that includes a greater relationship with you and Christ, and what that looks like for you. And how do you put bumpers on your road? You know, bumpers keep you on the path, right? They keep you straight, you know, and a lot of us need training wheels. We still need bumpers on our road. And I thought about that visual, and I thought, that is so cool, God, because we really are children. And when you take the training wheels off of a bike, what happens? The kid starts, you know, riding all over the place, and that, you know, until they fall. But if we keep our training wheels on, called the Word of God, it keeps us on path. So I don't know, food for thought. It's certainly what I feel the Lord told me to share with you guys today. Pretty simple, you know, go in through the narrow gate, because the other road is easy and it's wide, but it does not lead to life. It leads to destruction. So I am Cynthia Garrett. And from all of us at Girl Club, from Christina and Nova, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Peace out.
The love of God is immeasurable. It's unchanging. It's indescribable. Because God loves you so much, you can sleep through the night in peace. With Abide Bible Sleep Meditation, you can fall asleep fast with relaxing sleep stories based on Scripture. To start listening now, go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Bible Sleep Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.